Hi, I'm Becky Sims, and welcome to Behind the Future, the podcast from Aspiration Digital. We're here to unlock digital careers, one conversation at a time. On each episode, I'll be joined by a student co-host. We'll be interviewing amazing people from across the industry to learn about how they got started in their career and what it is that they do. Let's dive in to find out the secrets to their success. Whoa, what a conversation. Wasn't that brilliant?
Yeah, it was. It was really helpful.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's a good word. That's a really good word. Well, without giving too much away for our audience, what were your biggest takeaways?
Well, being able to have a social network, getting LinkedIn right now, and her redundancy, it just shows that you can come back harder and it's not the end of the world.
It really does, doesn't it? That was a really good story. I think, I've known Claire for a long while and she is just fantastic. She brings such energy and such enthusiasm and such drive for what she does. And yeah, I think the listeners were in for a treat, aren't they?
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, we'll let you get on to the episode.
Hi, I'm Claire and I'm going to take you behind the future.
So welcome to Behind the Future. I'm joined today by the fantastic Jessica. Jessica, tell us a bit about yourself.
So I'm 17. I'm doing media, business and economics. And I'm looking for a career in the digital industry. And I'm hoping this will tell me a bit more about it and help me decide, and others.
I think it is definitely going to do that. So super excited to have you. So thank you for joining us as a guest host today.
No problem.
And then our fantastic guest today is Claire.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's so good to have you here. And I'm so excited to hear more about your story today. So should we kick off?
So tell us a bit about your role.
So I'm Claire. I'm founder of Chime Agency. And we help agencies with their own marketing. So I've been self-employed for about 4 or 5 years now. And the biggest my team has been is there's been five of us. And at the minute, it's just me. And I'm doing more fractional CMOing work at the moment. So I can tell you a bit about that later on.
Definitely. There were a lot of words in there that I think we just need to unpack.
I know.
Should we start with what's an agency?
Sure. So digital agencies help businesses, organizations to market themselves, sell themselves, build digital products, build websites, anything that's in the digital sphere that you see, from the apps you use on your phone to the connected TV, will have likely had some sort of agency input, whether it's kind of designers designing things, building products. Most companies, big companies, will use agencies to help them do that.
Amazing. And why do they do that? Why do they not just do it themselves?
Well, there's a few reasons. One, agencies get to work with lots of different clients. So it means that they kind of really stay at the forefront of innovation. Secondly, whilst a company might spend a little bit more for an agency, if it's a project, they don't need that team all of the time in their business. So actually it makes it more sort of makes more financial sense for them to use an agency, on top of the fact that they're getting really great talent and that's at the real forefront of the industry and innovation.
You mentioned about a fractional CMO. What actually is that?
Yeah, so a CMO is a chief marketing officer. So someone that sits at board level in a business and looks after the growth and the marketing of that business. But some businesses are they wouldn't be able to afford to have that very senior role in the business full time. So fractional means that I kind of do that on a contract or part-time basis for businesses, often agencies and consultancies.
Amazing. So you get to go and learn about lots of different businesses, meet lots of different teams and solve lots of different challenges, I imagine.
Definitely. And the great thing for me, so obviously every business from kind of clothes brands through to manufacturing, construction, like every industry needs to market themselves. But I love doing what I do for agencies because I love marketing and I get to talk about marketing and communications and design and creativity all day.
And I guess for some of the audience, they might think it's mad that hearing what agencies do, that they need someone to help them with it. But it does happen, doesn't it? I suppose you've got the old adage of cobbler's shoes. So
definitely.
You can't always look after your own thing as well as you do for clients because you prioritize clients.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, reflect digital digital are brilliant at their own marketing and have really invested in it, but a lot of agencies don't or can't. And a lot of that stems from the fact that agencies don't often have the best margins in comparison to other businesses. It's harder for them to make as much money, so they've got less that they can invest in marketing. And also they have to prioritize their own clients. So they have this incredible talent in their teams that are doing things for big global businesses, but they've got to be billable, which means that they've got to be spending their time on work that's going to bring money into the business. So it's really difficult often for agencies to prioritize their own marketing. So that's why they use people like me that can do it on this sort of fractional part-time contract basis.
Is it a very full-on job?
Yes. Agencies in general are pretty full on. I think so when you're, and Becky will know this, when you're running a business in that is an agency, you've got to look after your team, look after your clients, look after yourself. And there's lots of kind of competing people that you've got to look after and service all simultaneously. And often they don't have the, you know, your boss who runs the agency might not have the same outcome as the client that you're having to look after. And that can be really challenging. So yes, agencies in general are pretty full on.
There's always a lot of different deadlines going on. I think that's the thing, isn't it? Although one of the things I often say to our team is this a self-imposed deadline or a real deadline?
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes there's a real deadline where there's an event happening or there's a product launch and we need to get a campaign out for a client and it has to be done. Yeah. But other times it's like, well, actually they just said Friday because you said, when do you want it? And they're like, I don't know, Friday. Yeah. And then it's like suddenly we're putting all this pressure on a kind of self-imposed deadline. Yeah. Actually,
and then the
matter.
Client doesn't look at it till after the weekend anyway.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's a real skill. And actually, when I do a talk at Aspiration Digital, all about the different roles within agencies, and one of the most important roles within an agency is the account management team and the client servicing team. And that's really a big part of their job, is to understand the client, build a relationship with them, to be able to know when to push back and say, look, we can't meet that deadline, or is it realistic, and to get the real answers out of them.
Yeah, definitely. Well, because there is always a juggle between, well, maybe we can, but you won't get as good a quality as if you could give us a few extra days to be able to work on
this. Or you've got to pay us more because we'll throw more bodies at it. And it's kind of this negotiation almost that you have. But you need people in that role that are really great relationship builders and negotiators. And I think that that's some really interesting skills that people who are sort of 17, 18 now might naturally have that within them and not really realise that there's a job available that they could do that in. Account management in agencies is a really great one if you're brilliant at building relationships with people.
Definitely. It's one of the things that I think is wrong with how the school system works at the moment, is we don't often surface skills enough.
Yeah.
We talk in subjects, like when you listed earlier, the subjects that you're learning. But actually, there's all these skills that goes into any subject that actually they're the things that are going to become really apparent in your career. But you don't always know, oh, I've got this skill, this little superpower. You haven't always picked it up. So,
And you won't necessarily know where it comes from. So, for example, you might be the organizer of your friendship group, and you'll find out when the trains to Bluewater are, and you'll have the WhatsApp group. I bet you don't even use WhatsApp, but you'll set the messaging group up to get everyone there, make sure they're all there on time. You'll be the one when you go out for dinner, you'll split the bill between everyone, and you're the organizer. And that would make their brilliant skills for project management, which is also like another really important job within agencies. So it's these softer things that just come naturally to you as a human being that you might not realize can lead you to a career.
How do you know that you want to do this as a career?
So I might tell you, go back a little bit then. So I went to university after school, and I was kind of like fell into uni because that's just what you did. Like my school, everyone went to uni. And so I sort of just had to. There wasn't really any other option other than going to uni, because I didn't know what I wanted to do when I went to uni. And I studied fine art, but I dropped out of university in my second year. I did an art foundation year, first year of degree, and dropped out in my second year, which all felt very big and like a big thing at the time. But it meant that I started working at that point, still in Loughborough, in the kind of the town where I was at university. And I just started doing an admin job. at a consultancy there. And after a little while, I kind of realized that no one was doing their marketing. I didn't really know what marketing was, but I could just see that no one in the business, it was quite a small business, probably about 10 of us at the time, but no one was really owning the marketing or the sales or the how did we, you know, how do people know who we are other than kind of word of mouth from the founders. And so I approached the founders and I did a presentation to them and said that what I thought was missing in their business and why I thought I'd be the right person to do it, the brazenness of it, which I think is something great about, yeah, when you're young, you have like this confidence. Well, I did.
I did as well. Sure, I did such a similar thing in a job.
Really?
I spent a whole weekend working on a presentation and was like, I've got a presentation for you. And it was why I deserved a different role, yeah, and what I was going to do for, yeah, them. And they followed me. So I'm, yeah, guessing they followed you as,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, it's I think showing that when you're kind of young, junior, not even just when you're young, but when you're starting out in an industry, is like wanting to learn and showing you're enthusiastic and showing that you care is really, really important. And that boss that I kind of pitched to, I'm still friends with now. I saw him last Friday. And yeah, so having the confidence to go out and say, I've seen this and I think it should be me and here's why. So that's sort of how I fell into it, really. And then I knew I wanted to move to London, the bright lights of the city, and so I came down and got a job down here. And it was after that that I knew very clearly that I wanted to work in an agency. There was something to do with, because I'd done fine art and it was very creative and I needed to have a bit of a creative outlet, and I kind of saw that agencies could potentially provide that for me. And at the time I was really interested in experiential marketing, which is kind of live experiences, so branded experiences that you might see at a festival or you might see kind of at train stations or shopping centers, bringing brands to life in the real world. And I got a job as a marketing manager at an experiential agency, and yeah, that's how I then kind of started the career in agencies, really.
Are Duolingo, Nike and McDonald's some of your favourite brands? For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
So you said you did fine art. Do you need to be like artistic or anything?
Oh,
like
interesting.
That?
So fine art, I mean, yeah, because you have to have a portfolio to do fine art. But actually my course was very conceptual. So it was less about the finished product when I was there anyway, which was a long time ago. It was kind of less about the finished product and more about your thought process. And that's the bit that actually really transfers really well into agencies, because we're often, I mean, some agencies are design agencies, so their finished product is something that's beautiful that graphic designers or illustrators are working on. But actually that the strategy piece that agencies do is kind of the same. It's the same work that I did on my fine art degree, of that thought process and having an insight and then building something out around it. And it's not necessarily about it being something aesthetically beautiful, but it's
Love that. And I think creativity is a really interesting thing, yeah, isn't it? Because I know when I was your age, Jessica, I thought I was rubbish at creativity, because to me, that was art and I was not good at art. Mm-hmm. You would not have caught me doing a fine art degree. It was, even my stick men don't look very good, to be honest. But I think what I've learned coming into the industry is actually you can be creative with your mind. And
definitely.
And actually, I didn't know that there was job roles such as a creative director, that often creative directors can actually create as well. Yeah. But actually, I feel like I've probably stepped into that sometimes in my role, where I can't, yeah, put pen to paper, or I can't make the thing look nice, but I've got ideas on how it could look nice and how I think it would resonate with an audience. Yeah. And I think that's a really interesting thing that doesn't often come through from school.
Definitely.
Is realizing what creativity is like as a superpower.
Definitely. I think it's a huge kind of soft skill that's missing from the education system. Right. I've got young children who are 5 and 8, and I see it still even you know, now in primary school age. And actually, and we might come onto this later, depending on where the chat goes, but I think that creativity in the purest sense of it being ideas is a really intrinsically human trait. And as we're moving more into this kind of AI world, actually having things like creativity and empathy, they're really important skills for young people to hone to do well in actually any industry, because being innovative and having those ideas, like AI actually can't do that because it has to learn off of past data. And so it's the human part of that that can look at big data from AI or input it in to generative AI platforms. Like that's the special magical bit. And that I hope, like that's actually where careers will go in the future and where people will be able to make money in the future.
Well, because AI doesn't feel like we do. Like sometimes you see something and you get a gut feel and you're like, I really like that. And you, why do you like it? I don't really know, but I really like it.
Or the other way, where you're like, oh, I feel really uncomfortable. And you can't necessarily say why, but it's like, I just don't feel quite right.
Yeah. Whereas AI would have to know. So AI can't replicate that human feeling that we have.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Is AI something you're playing with at the moment?
Yes. It is quite scary though, because I know obviously it is going to, well, I think it will take over the world. And it's scary for me because I'm not going to be able to get a job and it's already getting a bit difficult.
I think there will be lots of opportunities though. I think, I mean, what are you seeing from a kind of AI and humans working together as it's starting to evolve? Yeah,
it's definitely an assistant and a tool that humans can use right now. It's making us more efficient. It's kind of, it is cutting corners that would have taken a lot longer to get there, definitely. I do think that there is a slight worry. And I think you, Jessica, will probably be slightly ahead of it. So I think you'll be all right. But I think my kids maybe who are coming up kind of behind you. There's a lot of things that we can get ChatGPT to do now that actually 10, 20 years ago, we'd have had an 18-year-old intern fresh out of school doing. So, you know, research, desk research, for example. Whereas now ChatGPT can do a lot of it and you're paying 20 quid a month rather than, you know, for a human salary. And I do worry a little bit about what that means for the pipeline of talent coming through, because you don't just start your career as a creative director, for example, or as a, you know, project delivery director. You can't start there because you kind of, you have to learn it and you have to understand all those nuances of working with clients and hitting deadlines and all of that sort of stuff. So if we're not using young people in those early, like, we need to rethink how we get them in and also the skills that you need. And it's things like empathy, creativity, public speaking, relationship building, which are softer things that are going to become even more important as we move into this sort of AI future.
Definitely.
Would you recommend starting from the bottom in your career or going to university, getting the knowledge and the experience and then jumping in?
So I have quite, I'll probably, not all of your teachers might agree with me, put it that way. So
that's okay, they're not here today. So
I dropped out of uni, and actually in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have gone to uni. And I had a wonderful time. I met my husband, my best friends there, and had a great experience. So if you're in a financial position to go to uni for an amazing experience, I'd say do it. And if you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or something where you have to have, you know, a professional qualification to do the career, of course, do it. But actually, the great thing about our industry is that you don't. It's not a regulated industry, which is possibly something that we should talk about on a different podcast another time. But, you know, you don't have to have a set qualification to get in, and you can just get started. And when I've hired people for my business, I've found that actually the people that I've hired who have gone down an apprenticeship route have been better for me and my business, because, you know, if I'm looking at two candidates, both 22, one's just finished a master's but has no work experience versus one left school at 17, 18 and did two apprenticeships, has 5 years experience at that point, I know exactly who I'm going to choose. And the person who comes out with the degree or the master's or the PhD or whatever it may be has got really set their sights on a certain salary as well, which often you can't come good on, because, and I understand why they want that salary, because they've invested their time and their money in getting a degree. But actually, yeah, you can, there are really good digital and marketing apprenticeships that you can do and learn on the job. And so I would say for our industry, get cracking.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think there's certain things that it helps, but yeah, especially with how AI is going to continue to help us as well. I think knowledge is becoming, there was a time where knowledge was the most, like, that bought you things, being knowledgeable. It was powerful to be a senior person in a business, meant that you had to know a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, you have to have experienced a lot now, which means you know different stuff. You know how to handle things, but you don't need to be an encyclopedia of everything. And again, unless you want to go and be a doctor, but obviously, I don't know, last time I went to the GP, they were on Google. So,
And I don't know about you, Becky, but when you hire, do you like scroll down to the bottom to look at people's education?
No.
Does it bear any?
No, it really doesn't. Like I look for experience, and I also look for how people have pushed themselves to do more. So actually today for you is amazing that you're going to be able to put on your CV, on applications, etc., that you put your hand up and said, yes, I'll go and do that scary thing.
Not only that, you could just put a link to this video right at the top of your CV and be like, this is
look
me.
Look what I did.
It's a much, the extracurricular stuff and the putting your hand up and asking questions, and honestly, asking questions of people in industry. I know you've got a kind of weird setup today, but you know, getting on LinkedIn, getting out networking, speaking to friends of friends of friends' parents, whoever it may be, just always asking for advice, because I think most people in business have had advice at some point along the way, and most people will want to pay it forwards.
Yeah. And you never know, like, you message someone on LinkedIn and say, oh, I really like the look of your role, I'd like to get into something like you're doing. The chances, the worst thing that will happen is they don't respond.
Yeah.
The best thing that will happen is they say, well, do you want to come in and spend a day with me? Or do you want to hop on a phone call and I'll tell you a bit more about it? Or why don't I become your mentor? Like, people do that. Yeah. And I don't know that young people know that people do that.
Yeah.
Like everything we do for Aspiration Digital, like everyone like Claire that comes along to speak, that's all them just giving their time because they want to help. We want to have an amazing pipeline of people.
I mean, it is selfish, right? As well, because we want to secure the future of our jobs in the industry. And for that to happen, we need brilliant people like you to be choosing to join the digital creative industry rather than any other industry. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not totally philanthropic.
No, there's definitely a mixture in there. I mean, we did research last year and we asked people that work in the digital sector how they got here. And 70% of people said they fell into it.
Mm.
And it's so true. Most people, if you ask them, when they were your age, they did not know that was what they wanted to do. And I think we still, albeit when we were your age, was a little while ago. So therefore, digital wasn't as prevalent. But still today, I don't think the career options are as prevalent as they should be, which is why we're doing what we're doing and why we're here today, is because we want to get all those ideas surfaced so that you can start going, well, do you know what? That's what I want to go and do. And you can actually start to plan a pathway.
Well, also, the industry has grown and exploded. It's incredible in the UK. We really do have, I work a lot in the US as well, and different countries do look to the UK as a really special place for agencies and creative and digital business. And we're often seen as a hub to the rest of Europe. And agency by agency about to release a load of data, which hopefully will be live by the time this podcast goes out. But there's 25,000 agencies in the UK, and together we bring in, I think it's £27 billion worth of money into the UK economy. That's no small industry. There are jobs there. Our sector employs 250,000 people, so there are careers there to be had.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? So I feel like I made a comment a minute ago about, like, you can start to plan your pathway. But I suppose I know a bit of your story, Claire, and you can plan a pathway, but it doesn't always go how you want it to.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you could tell us a bit about that in your journey.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, I would argue that when it doesn't go to plan, that's probably when the most amazing things happen.
I'd agree.
I've been made redundant twice in my career. And when you're made redundant, it's when your business kind of, the business that you work for contracts and they need to let people go because they can't afford to keep everybody on anymore. So in agency world, it might be that you've lost a big client, for example, and the people working on that client no longer have jobs. And so it happened twice to me. And actually both times were real turning points in my career. And it feels super scary. You're like, oh, I don't have a job. How am I going to pay the bills? But actually it kind of like forces you out of your comfort zone. And because often, you know, when you've been working in a job a little while, it becomes comfortable and you know what you're doing and you know all the people and in that role. And yeah, you can kind of sometimes get to a point where you're like, I enjoy this, but maybe I'm coasting a little bit and I'm not pushing myself how I was when I went to get that job in the first place. And so yeah, both times I got made redundant, it definitely changed my career. So the first time I was about 25, 26, and it led me from working in a really small agency. Well, it was probably about 50 people at the time, so actually quite a big agency, but I thought it was small because then I went on to work in Publicis Group, which is a massive networked agency, one of the biggest in the world. They've got you know, networks of lots of agencies globally. And there's probably about 3,500 people in the UK. So I went from this kind of small business into this really big one, and I learned so much and it was incredible. And I was like, God, I never would have got that job had I, because I'd have stayed. I was happy where I was and I'd have stayed. And then the second time I got made redundant most recently was about 5 years ago. It was in the pandemic in May 2020, and I was on maternity leave with my second daughter in lockdown. And my husband had just been diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So it was quite an intense time. And I got made redundant then, but because, and it was horrible. It was a really, really horrible time. However, that's what led me to become self-employed. And again, I hadn't always dreamed of being self-employed. But because all those things had happened at once, I was like, actually, if I go freelance, and freelancing is when you kind of, you work for yourself and you take on contracts. So I wasn't building an agency. I wasn't employing people. It was just me at that time. And I was like, well, if I go freelance, I can kind of work a little bit more around my young family and around my husband and his needs at the time. And I just would never have done it. I would never have done it if I'd not been made redundant. And it was just the best thing yeah. that's happened, because then I set up my business and met lovely people like Becky.
It's funny, isn't it? In those moments though, I bet, yeah, you probably couldn't see the way forward for a time.
Definitely.
And then there comes a moment where you go, no, actually, this could be the making of me. Yeah. And this is the push I needed. This is the new opportunity. Definitely.
And it's okay to like wallow in that. Yes. In that like grief of your job and your friends. Like, it's okay. Yeah. But then, yeah, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, actually, you just start having conversations and you realize that you're more than that one role that you were tied to for the last 2 or 3 or 7, 10 years. And you can do what you want.
Yeah.
That's actually really inspirational to hear, because obviously you've been knocked down and then you've actually come back 10 times better.
Yeah.
For all the latest marketing and brand news, follow The Drum Mag on Instagram.
So there are challenging moments. Are there any really fun moments that you've had?
Oh, so much fun!
That is a good question.
Oh, that's a great question. So do you know what? I think one of the best things about running an agency, working an agency, is the people. Like, you work often long hours if you're working on a pitch together, but there's this camaraderie that you have as a team that is really, really special. And I have met friends for life who they might, if either we've worked in teams together or they might be other agency owners, people that work in the business, that I would never have met any other way. Like, one of my best friends I met on LinkedIn. That's a thing.
It's funny though, isn't it? Because you probably imagine, if you think about the business world, you think, oh, so what, you're friends with your competitors.
Yeah.
But actually, in agency world, and it isn't like this in every industry, mm-hmm. but in agency world, yes, we are. Like, yeah. I cheer from the sidelines for my competitors. Yeah. And there's some that I really adore and we've got good relationships with, because we know there's enough business for everyone. And actually, if we support and help each other, and if we grow together. So actually, in the agency world, there is just so much of kind of working together, networking groups, supporting each other.
Interestingly, it's not like that everywhere. No. So I'm doing a lot. I've been doing a lot of work in the States, and in the US, that culture isn't there in the same way. It's a lot more competitive. But there is, I completely agree. You know, if we all build the industry up together, we all thrive in the end. And there's definitely, in that kind of mid-size agencies, sort of up to about 100 people person agencies, there is definitely this feeling of we're in this together. And I think what agencies have realized in the last sort of 10 years probably is that, you know, we've all got our own specialisms. So you might be an SEO agency, for example, but you don't do design. So you need to work with a design agency sometimes, because you can work on clients together, because you've got complementary skills that a client can use. And so it means that you can actually, if you go in and pitch for a piece of work, you might be able to pitch for bigger pieces of work, because you're kind of stronger together and more than the sum of your parts when you work together. And that's sort of clicked more recently. I've noticed it more in the latter part of my career anyway.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of partnerships happening and a lot of good fun things can come from that. And a lot of growth opportunities, again, for team members to get to work with people from different businesses and actually seeing how that plays out when it's like, oh, okay, I know my team, but now we've got to work with another team and make sure we can deliver for this client together. And that, again, brings a whole new dynamic of relationships, because mm-hmm. a huge part of business is relationships, isn't it? And knowing how to communicate, and the people that do best in agency world are the good communicators, aren't they?
Oh, definitely. Definitely, yeah. And it's that leadership, it's one of those leadership qualities, I think, being able to communicate clearly with your team and with your clients, and kind of managing that with empathy, I think it's really important. And bringing it back to that, you know, computers don't have empathy and great leaders do.
Yeah, yeah.
What qualities do you think you need to have you need to have?
The ability to be able to have big ideas, but then be able to put them into action. And that's why in an agency anyway, you need lots of different, like, it's a real team effort. It's a bit like, I kind of liken it to rugby, because I used to play rugby. And in rugby, there is a position for everyone. You've got the wingers who are super fast. You've got the forwards who are like bigger and they're stronger. So there's a position for everyone. And it really is like that in an agency. Mm. In terms of running an agency, though, definitely the communication, being a good person. Like, I really believe in putting out into the world what you want to receive back. So I built my business on networking, really, and doing lots of introductions. I'd meet people and I'd introduce them to new people, and it was a cheap, easy way when I was starting off to just do something nice that people would remember me by. And you put good stuff out into the world and good stuff will come back. Like, I think sometimes when you think about business, you think you've got to be kind of hard. You know, you watch The Apprentice on TV and it's so competitive and you're sort of hard-nosed and you're kind of backstabby. And that's not my way of doing things. I'd rather put good stuff into the ether, because it comes back in spades.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess it's there's an art to finding those right environments, because there probably are. Oh, I know there are that are a bit like The Apprentice. And there's definitely people that are, when can I take this person's job, and looking at it that way. But actually, I think in agency world in general.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's politics in every business, where so-and-so said this or they're grumbling in the corner about that. And you kind of just have to let it wash over you and not get involved in the politics of it all, because that just happens everywhere, because we are human. But overwhelmingly, it's definitely not as backstabby as some other industries,
for sure. Definitely.
So you mentioned about working with the US and stuff. Do you travel a lot?
So I don't, but lots of friends that I have that kind of work in the industry do. And that will often depend on the size of your agencies and where your client base is. I haven't done really. I travel more around the UK now. So I'm up in like Manchester and Leeds quite a bit because there's really good sort of digital creative hubs in, you know, it's not just London and the Southeast. There's some really brilliant hubs regionally. So I do more UK travel now.
Yeah, yeah. But there are definitely people working in agencies where they'll be here, there and everywhere. Yeah. Or obviously remote has become a thing, hasn't it? So you can work with people without needing to be in person with them. But I think getting that balance is the important bit, isn't it? Because there is nothing better than, I mean, we could have done this remote on Zoom, couldn't we? But whoa, it would not have been the same experience.
No, this is much nicer.
You get the feeling, you read the body language and all those skills.
And the last sort of year, 2 years, like there's, you know, definitely been a move to more in person. I'm having more in person coffees with people and stuff now, whereas actually it was a real blessing setting up my business kind of post COVID, during and post COVID. Was it was weirdly a blessing that you know, we moved to this sort of virtual Zoom meetings, and that was, you know, acceptable because it meant that I could have 5 or 6 meetings a day when I was starting out, and I just would never have been able to have done that or afforded to come into London for coffees with people. So it's a blessing and a curse, isn't it?
It is. It does worry me though for young people, in that I know like, we won't hire someone that's coming into a junior role unless they can be in the office a good proportion of the week, because you learn through osmosis. It's not all sat down and going, right, I'm going to teach you this thing now, I'm going to show you how I do it. A lot of the time, it's just you kind of soak up what goes on around you. You hear conversations and you may not even realize that you've heard it and that you think, oh, that was interesting. Mm. It just goes in.
Or you might get pulled into a meeting because you're sat there and you're like, oh, do you want to come and sit in on this?
Yeah.
And if you're in your bedroom or wherever working, and you don't know that, you don't even know the meeting's happening. And likewise, you can spot things and say, oh, I want to know more about this. Can you tell me more? It's really tricky, and it's hard as well, because, you know, my business was a really small business. We didn't have an office. So what we would do is once a month we'd all meet up in London, the whole team, to try and have that human connection. But in an ideal world, I'd say it needs to be more than once a month, really. Yeah. Like, weekly is definitely would be better.
Definitely. I definitely think for a young person thinking to start their career, having a company where they can go and spend time, or that there's structured ways to spend time, whether it's a couple of times a month, or, but there's got to be that in-person connection, because I think you learn so much and you build stronger bonds with each other. Like, again, we proved in the pandemic, and we've got team members that aren't local, and I have lovely bonds with them, but I don't get to see them as often, and you don't get to keep renewing that relationship as much as you do when people are in regularly. So there's definitely something to be said about that, and that's definitely a consideration, I would say.
Yeah. Wow. Was the pandemic difficult for you working more remote?
Well, I was on maternity leave for the first part, like that first bit, and then I got made redundant and my husband got diagnosed with MS. So that was pretty rubbish. but our kids were under 5, so by the time the subsequent lockdowns came, they were allowed to go to childcare. So we weren't in that situation of having, if they were kind of a year older, they'd have been at school. My oldest would have been at school, and we wouldn't have been able to get childcare for her. But we were really lucky, if you could say that, that they were able to go to a childminder, which meant that when I was starting freelancing, I was able to do it and still work, because I could get my kids in childcare. But yeah, a lot of people were not in that position.
Yeah.
And however, talking about agencies in the pandemic, we saw some incredible agencies come out of that time. And there's something about agency founders, and it's that creativity, entrepreneurial spirit that, you know, in a hard time, a lot of people were maybe made redundant, like I was, and set up businesses because they were like, oh, we want to do things differently. I don't, you know, worked for a big network agency or whatever it may have been, want to do things differently. And there's some incredible agencies that in the last 5 years have kind of come out of that that have grown really rapidly and done really, really well. So yeah, it kind of goes back to that, and good things can come out of adversity, right?
Definitely. And there'll be some that pivoted and learned great things from that. There'll be some that fought on through, and again, there was a lot of strength to come from that, because it was such a weird time as well, because we were all going through something together.
Yeah,
like it wasn't just, oh, I'm on my own in this. Like, you had your own version of it, but you were like, but actually the person next to me and the person next to me, we're all going through something. So yeah, it was a really weird time. It must have been a bit strange at school as well.
Yeah,
very strange time. Hopefully we don't live through that again.
Oh, don't.
Oh no, I don't think we would we? We wouldn't go back.
I just can't.
Yeah, I know. What excites you about the future for our industry?
I think we're about to hit a really big period of change, and I think hopefully you've gathered from the conversation that I've had that I kind of run towards change and think it's like really exciting, and we're about to, I think the whole agency digital industry is about to be exploded. And I don't think anybody, I think whoever you have on this podcast, no one knows the answer of what the future is going to hold. And they will be lying if they tell you they do. But to me, that's the most exciting bit, that we've kind of got this front row seat about what's going to kind of happen, not just in our industry, but the rest of the world. And how we live is probably going to change. How we communicate and interact with each other is, everything's about to blow up and or implode. I don't know. But it's super exciting. And I think just having those really human, intrinsically human qualities, that's what's going to get us all through.
Yeah. I love that you recognize how much you love change, because some people don't. Like, if someone's sitting there thinking, I'm really fearful by the fact that you're saying there's so much change, like how can they change their mindsets? Oh god, there's more change, isn't it? But it's tricky.
So another rugby analogy, if you'll allow it, is I kind of think of it as like running into a tackle. Like, when you it might hurt, but it probably won't if you've practiced it and you know that it's going to get you where you and your team need to go. And it's kind of like just running headfirst into something that it might hurt a little bit, but not really, because you know what you're doing. So it's a bit like that. And just, I don't know, maybe I just have this eternal positive blind faith that it'll just all be okay. But it will. I think if you've got a positive attitude and you have a good network, and we've not spoken about networking yet, but that's something that I wish I'd done earlier in my career, is building out my network. I kind of started doing that when I became self-employed. But having a great network, being a good person, people want to help you. Change is fun if you've got people to do it with. I think change is scary when it feels like it's being done to you and you don't have any control over it. So probably the best thing to do is like take control of the change.
How can you make yourself part of the problem? How can you be part of what's happening and then go with it and embrace it and ask loads of questions and learn? And on the networking side of things, how do you build a network?
So I'm very lucky that agency founders, agency leaders like to network. So there's a lot of networking events. And I love in-person networking because I think, again, you kind of build these more human, real relationships. But there's loads of ways that you can network. And you do have it, even at school, you've got a network. You've got all of your friends and your teachers and your parents and maybe some of your parents' friends. And actually, it doesn't take a lot. If you ask, and it's having the confidence, I think, to ask questions and ask for advice, and you kind of can collect people as you go, and you won't get on with everybody, you won't click with everyone that you meet, and that's all right. And sometimes you might meet someone and you'll be like, oh, they actually can't help me right now, but they might know somebody who can help me. And so if you are clear about the advice that you want and what you're looking for in your career, your life, it makes it easier for people to help you as you're meeting them along the way. And LinkedIn is great. Are you on LinkedIn?
No.
I would say do it now, because I literally go home tonight and set up a LinkedIn profile page and we'll connect. And then that's it. Then all of a sudden you'll have Becky and me and anyone else that you know that might be on LinkedIn. Because it It is really brilliant. I think I said before that I met one of my best friends on LinkedIn. Like, it's a really lovely space. There's a lot of horribleness on social media a lot of the time. And don't get me wrong, it can be on LinkedIn too, but it's softer, I think, than a lot of the other platforms. But I am a massive advocate for in-person networking. Always. Yeah. And it's scary. It's super scary when you're walking into a room full of people. Like, it's taken me 4 or 5 years to get to the point where I am excited to do that rather than really nervous of doing that. But there's some top networking tips is, if you're walking into a room and you don't know anyone and you're nervous, find the person who's on their phone at the corner, because they're nervous too. And so just be two nervous people together, and you're like, that person will be so thankful that you've gone up to them, and then all of a sudden it'll all be a bit easier.
Yeah, it's like dominoes at that point, isn't it? It just starts to happen. I heard a good tip recently, actually, instead of, because I think a lot of people were like, so how are you today? And you kind of, it's quite basic conversation. But actually, if you go with something in your mind that you're working on at the moment, and you go in and ask the question, are you working on anything exciting at the moment? Then so instead of saying like, what do you do? Suddenly they can talk about something they're passionate about. It might be a project they're working on or something they've just finished. But if you've got something as well that you can share, then you can suddenly meet with this interesting conversation, as opposed to going, oh, I'm a social media manager or whatever, and feeling like you've boxed yourself off. It's like, actually, no, I want to talk to you about something I'm excited about.
I was at a breakfast networking thing in Manchester a couple of weeks ago, and the guy that I sat next to, I had never met him before, and the first thing he said to me was, what's your best story? And we just ended up having such a laugh over breakfast, told lots of silly stories. And I found out about his son and his family. I still don't know what he does for a living. No, he runs an agency. But I don't know. Like, we didn't talk about work, but we built a human connection.
Stories are the best though, aren't they? Because we remember stories as well. Yeah. Like, we're from when we can't even understand, our parents are reading us stories, aren't they? Like, we're born to understand stories and remember things. And I love that. Amazing. So I've got a little question around kind of predictions. So it does feel like everything's changing a lot at the moment. Do you think there's something that if we fast forward 20 years that currently is a big part of what you do that might be very different? Like, is there something you've got your eye on that you're like, this is going to change and I'm watching what's happening with it?
20 years, things will be really, I suspect that we won't be designing for screens in the same way that we design for screens now in 20 years. I don't know what that will look like, but I suspect, you know, everything is on a phone or a laptop, and I suspect that will be different. How we interact online will be different, and therefore those job roles that we have now will be really different.
It's mad when you start to think it, like, we don't even know what it could look like.
Well, I think like voice search, you know, a lot of us will have a Amazon Alexa or Siri that we use, and that will get better and better. I was chatting to someone the other day who was talking about a conversation that they'd had with ChatGPT, and so as AI gets better, you know, how we search and how we find things, how we research, how we communicate is going to change. So screens, maybe we won't use them as much, or maybe that's wishful thinking. The thing for our industry that I would kind of like to see, I think, in 20 years is this sense of, you know, AI and tech, and it's going to take over a lot of job roles. Like, I think we can probably all agree that that is going to happen. And I was saying earlier that, you know, creativity will win out, and I think there's a lot of creatives who have got into the digital industry as graphic designers, let's say, where in the future, in 20 years, maybe actually they'll go back to being sculptors or painters or musicians, because we will value those tangible things, and we will value real life experiences, and we'll pay for them, because at the minute we don't really pay for them in the same way that we would have done sort of 100 years ago. But maybe in the next 20 years, maybe slightly longer, we'll see this kind of full circle moment where we really value beautiful art, and people will be able to make careers as artists That's maybe, again, wishful thinking. I love
it though. No, I love it. I absolutely love it. Are there any burning questions that you've not asked that you want to ask?
Just advice. The best advice you've got.
So I would say, like, continue being you. You're so confident and positive, like, and that's wonderful. Like, you'll get like swept up by employers. But the building your network is a really big thing. Asking questions and, it, you know, like what Becky said, the worst that's going to happen is someone's going to ignore you.
Yes.
They're not even going to be like, people won't even be mean.
No, like, no, they'll either ignore you or they might come back and say, no, I'm really sorry, I don't have time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, you've not lost
anything.
You've
not lost anything. Yeah. So yeah, asking questions and building your network, and maybe just not always listening to your teachers, like, or your mum and dad or whoever it is, but like taking advice from lots of different sorts of people and making your own mind up and essentially just doing what you love. And if you love it, you're more likely to succeed.
Oh, I need to get on LinkedIn.
Yeah, you definitely need to get set up on LinkedIn, and definitely before Aspiration Digital, because you're going to have so many people you can connect with. So my word, that's been amazing. What a fun conversation.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're so welcome. I've learned a lot and it's just been amazing. And you've got such a fantastic career and it's been lovely to hear about the kind of inside track on it and where you think things are going. So thank you so much for joining us, Claire.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Where can people find you on LinkedIn, I'm guessing?
Yeah, LinkedIn is where I'm at. So Claire Hutchings, founder of Chime Agency.
Perfect. We will link you in the comments below. And yeah, thank you so much. That's a wrap.
That concludes another brilliant episode of Behind the Future. Thank you so much for listening. You can listen back to other episodes on YouTube or your podcast platform of choice. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, as that will help us to grow this podcast, ensuring we can get the best guests on here for you to learn from. You can also follow us on socials, linked in the show notes for exclusive content. See you on the next episode.